Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Friday, January 6, 2017. I am Jason Powell. Coming up after the break for non-members, I will be discussing the first edition of TNA Impact Wrestling of 2017. Things were more interesting behind the scenes at TNA Impact Wrestling than they were on the actual television screen. Jeff Jarrett and Dutch Mantel returning to the company in what appears to be consultant roles. Certainly Jarrett, it's been described that way. Not exactly sure what position Dutch Mantel, a.k.a. Zeb Coulter, is in. But I don't want to pin last night's show on them because I don't think they had a lot to do with it. It would be my guess. I think those deals kind of came together fairly late. We'll be getting into a lot of some behind-the-scenes notes, including what TNA actually wanted to pull off on this show that they failed to do. On today's .NET Weekly audio show, Brian Fritz of Sporting News and BetweenTheRopes.com will be my special co-host. Brian has attended a number of TNA tapings over the years, a number of TNA events, and keeps close tabs on the company along with all of pro wrestling. And so Brian and I will get into a lot of that exclusively for the members. If you are interested in membership, very simple. I'll just give you the quick sell. Visit the main page of ProWrestling.net, look for the sign-up area, and you'll find three different pricing options available. $750 will get you in the door for 1 month. As always, you can save $2 per month by taking the annual membership. You can also save some coin by signing up for our 6 month membership option. Again, all the details available there, but really looking forward to discussing everything that's been going on with Brian Fritz, and we'll also get into the New Japan Wrestle Kingdom 11 show and the latest going on in WWE as well. That'll be coming up again on Friday afternoon for .NET members. If you have any questions, hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. But yeah, the Impact Television show, I went into this excited. It's the first show under Anthem Sports and Entertainment ownership. They announced the acquisition on Wednesday night for some reason. They got a little bit of mainstream attention, like New York Post and multi-channel news and kind of some of the ones you'd expect, but nothing major. It was basically just kind of a lot of repeats of the press release, and so it didn't get a ton of attention. And so within moments of the show opening, we had Josh Matthews and the Pope D'Angelo De Niro at ringside hyping that Impact is presented by Anthem Sports and Entertainment, and then they showed the logo is now like on the middle turnbuckle pads. And D'Angelo De Niro said there are opportunities and new opportunities and new beginnings, and he said it's positive and making TNA great again is part of the plan. Okay, let's just put your for a moment. If you're listening to this show, chances are you know what Anthem Sports and Entertainment is and you know why they're talking about them. Put yourself in the position of the casual viewer who maybe you visit that dumpster fire known as ImpactWrestling.com or TNA, whatever the hell they're calling their website these days. This is still a company with too many names, and hopefully they'll just change the damn thing completely. But what does this mean? Maybe you don't even go, you know, why would you go to their website? So maybe you haven't even seen the press release. What does this mean? What the hell is Anthem Sports and Entertainment? Maybe if you're a Canadian viewer, you have some clue. But I'm sorry, it's not like this is Disney purchasing the company and you can just splash the logo on the middle turnbuckle and people are going to go, ooh, it's Anthem Sports and Entertainment. We don't know what that means. Is Dixie Carter with the company? Well, we know that she is a minority investor if you read the press release. But, I mean, why not? There was no mission statement here. There's no explaining what's happened. There was no thank you very much to Dixie Carter. And I don't say that because I felt like, you know, I'm sitting here in Camp Dixie going, please, thank this woman. If anything, I mean, she should thank them for bailing her ass out again. But, no, I mean, why? The reason I thank Dixie Carter is to acknowledge that there's been a change, and a significant one. Thank you for your years of service, even if I don't mean it. I do it so that I can explain there's been an ownership change. This is not just D'Angelo De Niro throwing out a Donald Trump line about making TNA great again. And by the way, is it just me or is it like every year they're trying to make TNA great again? Maybe I'm getting it confused with the X Division, which they're always trying to make great again. Oh, we got to get the X Division back on track. All of this. So, yeah, I mean, just I thought a wasted opportunity. And I'm not saying you needed to dedicate a bunch of television time to this, and I probably would have laughed had we had, like, any hint that Ed Nordholm was going to become an on-air character. But you just brought back Jeff Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett can cut a promo. Want to bring him out and let him kind of explain what has happened. Or if you want to have Ed Nordholm, even in a brief segment, just something telling me that, hey, this is important. This is, things have changed. So, and it's good change. You may have heard a lot about what's been going on lately. Maybe you haven't, but here's what it is. And we're excited about this. We're happy to be here. And it just kind of set the tone and give people a mission statement as to what you're all about, rather than just throwing the logo on the middle turnbuckle and expecting people to go, oh my, it didn't mean anything. Even as somebody who was watching the show and knows exactly what's going on, I'm like, that's it, okay, whatever, big deal. Anyhow, you had TNA champion Eddie Edwards coming out. There's another problem. Eddie Edwards is not TNA champion material. I'm sorry. I like Eddie Edwards. I just hear good things about him as a person. I enjoy his matches, his in-ring work. He's boring. He is painfully boring. And they give him the mic, and he's out. I wanted to turn the channel. It's a shame. And I think what's going to happen here, the big return that he hinted at, and we eventually saw, Davey Richards returning. Davey Richards is married to Angelina Love. My guess here is that it's going to end up being Angelina and Davey are heels. And it'll be the evil woman storyline. I could be way off on that. But if that somehow justifies in anyone's mind this decision to keep the TNA Championship on Eddie Edwards, they are delusional. It's not working. It's just not clicking at all. What they did here was they had Lashley come out. He wanted his match. They just had this fight at the Hardy compound that didn't have a finish. It was bizarre. And so it's like, are they going to pick up where they left off? EC3 ended up coming out, and of course, this led to a triple threat announcement. They're trying to portray Eddie as a fighting champion. Well, if you both want title shots, then let's do a triple threat. Why didn't like Mandrews run on? And I guess Mandrews is in WWE now, but you know what I'm saying. So the other, I mean, when you stop and think about it too, isn't it silly that this company has, even if you just look at it from a storyline standpoint, been off the air for a couple of weeks. They had the best of material. They didn't come ready with a main event for this show. I mean, you just stop and think you had to take that opening segment and just kind of stumble into a main event. Seems kind of ridiculous, but WWE does it all the time too. But it's still, it's no excuse. Just tighten things like that up. Look at what WWE does that's bad and go, we can improve on that. We can make it better. Don't just emulate what they do. But yeah, Edwards was hyping a surprise here a couple of times during the segment. Then we got a shot of Moose and Mike Bennett walking backstage. We'll be talking about Mike Bennett's status in the .NET Weekly audio show as well. He was pretty vocal. He was not pleased, and he and Maria Kanellis, not his wife, not pleased with well, basically not being paid on time. And if there's new management now, so we'll get into what's going on with him a little bit later today. But Matthews hyped Moose and Bennett for the Grand Championship is coming up after the break. We get the big Maria Kanellis-Bennett introduction of Mike Bennett, and Matthews noted that Mike Bennett had debuted in TNA 1 year ago to the day, and then Moose made his entrance, and it was time for that match. And the Grand Championship match saw Moose retain via split decision, and what they did here was every round it was a split decision. I think the first one, let's see here, I can actually figure this out quickly. The first one went to Bennett by split decision, so then the second one went to Moose by split decision, and the third one went to Moose by split decision. It got better as it went on. It was pretty clunky early, and I'm watching this going, boy, I don't know how much these guys are working on a regular basis here when TNA is down, and for all I know, they have been. I've just missed them on indie results or something like that, but it really did leave me wondering, like, is this show going to be a little flat as far as the ring work goes, or because these guys haven't been working much? But it did get better as it went on. It just kind of slow and plotting, and I'm still not sold on this round format that they're doing for the Grand Championship. When, in fact, I think when Moose first appeared, I don't think they said Grand Championship. They just said that he'd be defending his championship. And I'm like, oh, is that a sign that they're giving up on this Grand Championship in round format already? Maybe they're going to call it the TNA TV title or something. Nah, the Grand Championship is still round based. And I guess they're going to stick with it for now. We went backstage where Hornswoggle, he's now known as Swoggle, spotted Vanguard 1, and then Matt Hardy and Brother Nero show up, and Matt asked if he was sent to infiltrate Total Nonstop Deletion by his bastardly father, McMahon. I can't say it the way Matt Hardy does, I apologize. Yeah, I just can't do it. Swoggle said that he's not really his son, and Hardy said, wonderful, before walking away, and then Swoggle told Vanguard 1 that they're the only normal ones around here. And they went to a commercial. Fine. Ring announcer Jeremy Borash was about to introduce the next match when Rockstar Spud came out with a mic in hand. Said 2017 is going to be his year. And he said it's a new start for him in the company, and he called for his opponent, who was then introduced by Jeremy Borash, and it was Swoggle, and he defeated Rockstar Spud in 105 using a Celtic Cross to get the pin. And then Spud takes the mic after the match and said no repeatedly, and the fans actually came back with a yes every time he'd say no. And he told the fans he hates them, and he complained about losing to a man who looks like a one-year-old boy. And he said TNA sucks, and then he quit. And the fans sang the goodbye song to him. I'm guessing this is going somewhere. I don't think Spud is actually leaving. Maybe I've missed something as far as his contractual status, but I think this is more storyline-based than like a blow-off of Rockstar Spud. But it gives Spud something, which is more than, you know, as much as I praised TNA Impact Wrestling creatively in the year 2016, Spud was a guy that for some reason just kind of fell by the wayside. They didn't do anything redeeming with him. It was a really down year for Spud, who has had some so good with Dixie Carter, calling her Madam Dixie and doing that whole servant routine. His feud with EC3 was great. He's done a lot of good things for the company, and unfortunately, he was just kind of wasted last year. So, I can't say that feuding with Swoggle is necessarily my idea of getting him off to a hot start, but it's something. It's better than, hey, he's another random X Division wrestler. The most memorable thing Spud did last year, I hate to say this, was getting his teeth kicked in by Braxton Sutter. It's too bad. Backstage, Mike Bennett told Moose that what happened was crap, and it's now personal. And he said, screw the judges in the rounds, and he challenged Moose to face him one-on-one, anything goes. And Moose calmly said, all you had to do was ask. And this was hype for their one-night-only pay-per-view. Yeah, they're doing a pay-per-view tonight, people. It's a live show, 3 hours. I looked it up just on DirecTV to make sure. I think it's like a $24.95 price tag, something around there. I don't know why. They did this last year, too, though. So this isn't like, well, it's a new ownership thing. No, they did this last year. They used to just have Genesis, and they would build up to it. Now they have a live one night only for no apparent reason, and they didn't do anything to hype it coming into the show. You found out about it on this show, and the hype for it on this show was so lackluster. I'm not even doing live coverage. I went into this going, you know, if it feels like there's some reason to, yeah, I'll order the pay-per-view and do live coverage. Not the first thing I'd like to do on a Friday night, but whatever. You know, it's a wrestling show, I'll cover it. But if they drop the ball and it just feels meaningless, I'm not wasting my time. Well, I'm not wasting my time. However, .NET staffer Zach Zimmerman is wasting his time. He's going to the show. He's in Florida. He is a Massachusetts guy, but he's been in Florida. He went to the NXT tapings last night. You can check out the full spoilers that Zach wrote last night on the main page of ProWrestling.net. He went to Raw. He went to SmackDown. He's going to all sorts of things. I think three different Impact tapings, I think he told me, and some indie events as well. So a busy week for young Zach Zimmerman. But the point is, he will have his report on the show, even if it's just basic results. We'll see. I'm sure if there's something meaningful to take place, Zach will be all over it, but just kind of looks like a nothing show, much like the one I'm reviewing. Backstage, Mike Bennett, from there we went to Matthews hyping the Triple Threat main event, and then Eli Drake started holding up signs that read, me speaking, yeah, and I do it next, because he wasn't allowed to speak per the stipulation of his loss to, EC3. Eli Drake then stood in the ring, and he had his Facts of Life podium with him. And I gotta say, I was immediately disappointed because I liked the set. I liked the set. I didn't like the silly gimmick they had of adding a lap track, but I liked that this guy had a set that wasn't in the ring like all these other talk shows. It was kind of a throwback to, you know, Piper's Pit, even the Flower Shop, and, you know, all the spinoffs that they had from Piper's Pit where it had its own set back in the day. But it looks like that's gone. But maybe Dixie got that in the sale. I don't know. Here's your set, Dixie. And hopefully she took the laugh track with her, too. Drake introduced Broken Matt and Brother Nero. We had Rebby playing them out on guitar. She had Maxwell, strapped to her back is the right word. But just one of those things, the baby carriers. I don't know what they are. Not a father, folks. So it's my baby equipment lingo is not there. But Jeff sang the obsolete song, and the crowd was kind of into this. This wasn't a good segment. You know, I've loved a lot of what Broken Matt and Brother Nero have done. It's the new year. Maybe I'm too hung up on that. And for instance, John Moore liked this show more than I did. I just wanted something a lot more than we received. I wasn't blown away by it. But in this case, It's like the new year, and you know, you'd think you'd come out hot with something with Broken Matt and Brother Nero, and we didn't get it. It just they ended up kind of setting up a match for the pay-per-view, and it's going to be the Hardys defending the tag titles against Eli Drake and a partner of his choosing. There was no hint. There's no nothing. There's no tease like it's somebody coming in that you won't expect. Nothing. Just Eli Drake and a partner of his choosing. Who cares? All of that said, I continue to say Eli Drake is someone to keep an eye on. I think he is improving in the ring, and he certainly has the gift of gab. He's slowly putting it together on the mic. You know, at first it was just, you could tell he could talk, but he wasn't saying the right things at the right time, and it was just kind of very frantic and all over the place. And now he's starting to become a better promo. He is definitely, I think there's breakout potential with Eli Drake. Backstage, we had Eddie Edwards talking about defending his title. I wanted to turn the channel again. And he talked about, he was interrupted by Lashley, who said the surprise that Eddie was talking about is that he's still champion. Yeah, no kidding. Lashley said, give him the title or he would take it from him. And Edwards told him to try. Bad backstage stuff from TNA on the show. Really bad. Matthews set up another trailer. They had repeated trailers for the Schitt's Creek show. And I think one other Pop TV show. I want to see Schitt's Creek. Really bad. DirecTV doesn't have Pop in HD. And they don't have an on-demand area for Schitt's Creek. And to the best of my knowledge, it hasn't popped up on Netflix yet, which is what I have. So if you're like, hey, it's on Hulu, I don't have it, so not really helping me. But I'd really like to see this show because I love Eugene Levy and several other cats, Chris Elliott. There's a lot of great cast members. I want to see this show. And so as soon as they start playing those, I hit the mute button. I just want to see it from start to finish. But I know once in a while they'll have a marathon, I think. But number one, yeah, DirecTV, really? You don't have HD for Pop? Why? You have HD for, like, all these crappy channels no one watches. Why not one more crappy channel that no one watches? We went to a video that recapped Total Nonstop Deletion. Third match was Decay beating Trevor Lee and Andrew Everett in 3 minutes. I've been waiting for it. I'm like, well, why don't we hear from Trevor Lee? And we finally did. It was Shane Helms talking about how the dynasty is about unity. Oh, he also claimed he didn't remember what happened when he fell into what is the Lake of Reincarnation at the Hardy compound. But yeah, he said they're all about unity. And then Trevor Lee said, yeah, there's no I in unity. And Helms just kind of rolled his eyes. I'm like, great. So we finally get to hear from Trevor Lee, and he's made out to be a yokel. He's stupid. He's just dumb. Awesome. TNA, you have something there in Trevor Lee. He's a guy that works the PWG shows. There's a tremendous amount of buzz about him, and you're just wasting him. And don't even get, well, he was the X Division champion, yet he never spoke, and none of his matches meant anything. Just being absolutely wasted. And he was here, again, because he ended up being on the losing side of this. Decay beat Trevor Lee and Andrew Everett. Decay has new entrance music. It is not Marilyn Manson's theme, and it hurts. It's just kind of, John said he thought it sounded like Jeff Hardy's band. Whatever it is, I came away feeling like it's just bad entrance music. It's not the worst, but when you go from professional Marilyn Manson to this, yeah, it's a big letdown. I think they're baby faces now. I don't know. It's weird. You would think Rosemary would be the heel because of her status in the knockouts division, but the way this went, it came off like Decay are baby faces because they beat a fellow heel team, or I thought they were heels going into this, and then afterward the lights go out. And I'm like, well, maybe they're going to make Lee and Everett baby faces or something. But don't the lights go out, and there's a 3-2-1 countdown, and the god-awful DCC faction attacked Decay from behind with beer bottles and left them lying. No one cared. DCC is terrible. It's just, as I've said repeatedly, they clearly came up with, wait, we've got a concept here. It's going to be like Anonymous, and we're going to have all these distorted voice things. And here's the look, and here's the voice, and they didn't put any more thought into it. There's no explanation as to why they're together. You got your James Storm country music entrance theme, and it's just so bad. Please make this stop. Backstage, Maria told Allie to get her gear on and meet her in the ring because she had something special planned for her. Maria delivered a promo. She had Laurel Van Ness and Sienna by her side. And then Maria said nothing about Allie impresses her. Allie messed up and ended up costing her the title and being the leader of the knockouts division. And Maria said she's smarter than Allie and owns her. And said if she wanted a match with Sienna, I asked if she wanted a match with Sienna or if she was too scared. And Allie said, bring it on. And it was ended up being Sienna beating Allie in 505. Braxton and Sutter ran out. He needs to stay backstage. But no, I mean, I know on purpose. It's kind of a continuation of what they've been doing. And you know what? Allie got over as much as anybody in the Impact Zone when she was on the offensive. It was kind of cool to hear the crowd really rally behind her character. You know, it was Sienna, kind of the powerhouse of the division. But when Allie fired up and got some offense in, the crowd was there with her. They were excited about her. So they knew creative, new management, whatever it is, better realize they've got something here with Allie. It's been a really fun character. I just hope that people get it because I do think this was a Dave Lagana baby. Hopefully Matt Conway had a lot to do with it, and I'm mistaken by that because I dig the Allie character and I think they can do more. But this was, it was fun. Just to hear the crowd react like that. Sienna takes advantage of a distraction. What they do is have Laurel Van Ness go over and hang on Braxton Sutter. And it looked like he was being put in motorboat position. I'm sure many of you know what that is. And if you don't, well, you're probably young and I shouldn't say that to you. But, Sienna just kind of takes advantage of that because the idea is that Allie and Sutter kind of have this cutesy relationship. They're married in real life, but on television it's just kind of a cutesy blossoming relationship, if you will. And Laurel is the one who is always claiming that she spent time with Sutter and all this, really trying to get under Allie's skin. And so Allie was distracted by this. That's why I say the guy should just stay backstage. But from there, we went to we got some shots of the main eventers, and they went to a commercial. And when they came back, the broadcast team thanked all the fans who were watching the show in the UK and Ireland on the new app and pushed the app. And I'm like, well, chances are anyone watching on the app already purchased the app. I don't know, there's going to be too many TNA Impact parties at whatever the hell time of night this was in the UK. But anyway, you can watch the horrible pay-per-view on the new app as well. So I don't know if they charge you the same price or if it's just, included. They may have covered that. I didn't care because it's only available in the UK and Ireland. Good for you guys. That's awesome. But I think we're right behind. I don't know that you're going to see that. This is total speculation, but I just think Anthem believes there's money in a WWE Network-like approach, and I think they let the Challenge TV deal pass, and now they're trying to market this app over there. They may do the same with Pop. I think Pop is, they're not bringing anything in with Pop anyway. I don't believe it's a barter-type deal. And so Challenge, I think, is actually more a riskier move. You need that television presence. You know, it's when people ask, well, what about Raw and SmackDown ending up on the network someday? It's like, well, that'd be a problem for WWE because you always want that presence. And, you know, and who knows how the landscape is going to change with television. But right now, be like, you have to be a fan in order to see WWE. You know, if everything was on the network, how do you make new fans then? you hope that they see the network somehow? And again, the landscape could change, but if that's TNA's plan, it's up, skip TV, it's all going on this app. Risky, very, very risky. The fifth match was the main event of the show. They did go long, by the way, with this show going about, I think, 10 minutes long, past the top of the hour. They did send out a warning on their website and on their Twitter page yesterday, for the few people paying attention to that these days, because maybe the Twitter page, but the website is just a freaking dumpster fire. But Eddie Edwards defeats Lashley in EC3 in a triple threat to retain the TNA Championship. I did not get a time on this because I ended up having to tend to other business and kind of pause, and so I was running behind on it, and never did get a time. But it was a lengthy match, and it was a solid match. It was good. It just didn't. There's nothing that wowed me. And the big surprise that wasn't a surprise of Davey Richards coming out. Well, he didn't do anything here. He just stopped Lashley, who was about to use the TNA Championship as a weapon. And Richards ran out and stopped him, and then Edwards hit the Boston Knee Party on Lashley and pinned him. And then Edwards and Richards celebrated at ringside to close the show. And we got a graphic listing TNA Wrestling Productions along that. Listing it, I think that's what it said, TNA Wrestling Production, and then the other one is the Anthem logo. So that's the first episode of Impact in the Anthem era and in 2017, and it just, it wasn't insulting, it just didn't excite me. It didn't leave me anxious to see more. Sure as hell didn't make me want to see this pay-per-view tonight, and it just didn't, they didn't do anything to promote next week's show. That was one thing they really did a nice job with last year as well, is giving you a reason to come back, giving you hooks. You knew what a lot of times, more often than not, you knew what the big match of the week was. And they're really, I mean, I know they had a pay-per-view, but there's just nothing, and I don't know the purpose of this pay-per-view. I don't know why you just don't have it be your Genesis. And I think that's, I think that's what they call the January show, is Genesis, and do it a more traditional way. Give it an actual build instead of just, hey, we're back and here's a show. We hope you tune in. Good luck with that, TNA. But yeah, I really wanted something just kind of new and fresh and exciting, and we didn't get it here. Not saying they needed to do a bunch of hot shotting, but it very much just kind of felt like, yeah, it's the same product we were giving you last year. And you want just a little feeling of change. And last year's product was good. So, I mean, I'm happy they didn't just like hit the reset button and basically delete every character and start from scratch or anything like that. But I just expected more. This felt like a big show for them. And yeah, Jeff Jarrett and Dutch Mantel are, kind of just getting involved and in the process again. But you had the creative team working on this for a while. It wasn't like it was a secret these tapings were coming. Well, it kind of was to the general public, but people within TNA knew. I can't believe they actually got people in the Impact Zone. They did such a poor job of promoting their free show, even. But they did have them there. We'll see if attendance is an issue coming up, because they just really, the early PR for this company is kind of basically picking up where the old company left off. We'll just say that. But that is going to do it for now, everybody. You can check out John Moore's hit list. That'll be up a little bit later. And like I say, he liked the show a little bit more than I did. I wanted to come out of this going, cool, there's a new direction, not even a new direction. There's just something that feels hot and new. And the return of Davey Richards, nice. He was sidelined for a long time, but after having, I think it was torn ACL surgery. So it's nice to see him back, but it's not like, wow, Davey Richards is back. Eddie Edwards is just not a strong world champion. It's not working. And I don't know that Davey turning heel and bringing his wife Angelina into this, if that's the direction they go in, is enough justification to keep it that way, to keep Eddie Edwards as champion. But anyway, Brian Fritz and I will have more to say on what's going on behind the scenes in TNA coming up later on today for .NET members. Until next time, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Have a great weekend. Take care.